Call to order council meeting for June 22nd, if everyone would stand for the pledge.
I, United States of America, to the Republic, and the nation, visible.
Same standing prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and the future as well. Amen.
We have roll call.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
President Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Morris.
Here.
Ms. Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Mary Oakham.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to adopt the agenda as presented.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes. And that is approved by a vote of 7-0. Need approval of the June 8th minutes.
I move we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to approve the June 8th minutes as presented.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose. Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes. And those are approved by a vote of 7-0. Next is petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Being none, we'll move to committee chair reports. Anything else? Report of city officers. I do want to give you a report on our spring cleanup where everybody had to haul your own large items to Republic. They collected 34.5 tons of trash through our cleanup this spring, and we are working on setting up another couple weekends in the fall. Okay, if nothing else, we'll move on to old business. Ordinance 21-2015, vacation and closing of portions of 14th Street.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a second reading of Ordinance 21-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to have second reading of Ordinance 21-2015.
Ordinance 21-2015, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, vacating a portion of a platted public way commonly known as 14th Street, City of Vincennes, Indiana, containing sections 1 through 7.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that a public hearing was held at 5:45 and no one spoke for or against this ordinance.
Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes. And second reading of Ordinance 21-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, I move we have a third reading of Ordinance 21-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to have third and final reading of Ordinance 21-2015.
Ordinance number 21-2015, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, vacating a portion of platted public way commonly known as 14th Street in the City of Vincennes, Indiana, 1-7.
Discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes. And third and final reading of Ordinance 21-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is Ordinance 22-2015, additional appropriation from Edit Fund for $10,314.20 and Rainy Day Fund $30,238.
Move we have a second reading of Ordinance 22-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to have second reading of ordinance 22-2015.
Ordinance 22-2015, additional appropriation ordinance omitting formal parts contained in section 1 and 2, $10,314.20 edit, and $30,238 for rainy day fund.
Discussion?
Oh, yes, Mr. Mayor, we had a public hearing on this ordinance at 5:45, and no one spoke for or against this ordinance.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rhodes?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And second reading of ordinance 22-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0.
I move we have third reading of ordinance 22-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have third and final reading of ordinance 22-2015.
Ordinance 22-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1 and 2.
Again, discussion?
Call for the question.
Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
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 And third and final reading of ordinance 22-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Moving to new business. First is Chief Dusty Lukin, Vincennes Police Department, lateral hire.
Dusty Lukin, Vincennes Police Chief. I came today to speak with you all about a lateral hiring process. Earlier this year, back in January, I gave you guys a packet of information that talked about a few different things that I was hoping to get accomplished for the police department. And one of those items was the idea that we, I believe, are in need of taking a look at lateral hiring for the Vincennes Police Department. As all of you guys know, it's one of the most rigorous, time-consuming, and expensive portions of replacing police officers is during their first 2 years. You know, it's expensive. It's and what we run into is whenever we continually have to rehire people to fill positions, it takes a while to get them up to speed before they can be released and out on their own and doing their own thing. So one of the ways that I think that we can do a little bit better at providing services to the city is if we were to offer a lateral hiring process. You know, again, we put a lot of time and effort into training the officers from the ground up, preparing them to go out and to serve the citizens, and oftentimes we have departments that, for instance, Greenfield, Indiana, I know at least 4 officers from Vincennes Police Department have left our department and went to Greenfield, Indiana. So we put in the hard work, the expense to get them trained through the academy, out on the road, and then, you know, they moved on to go work for that particular department. And what I am proposing is that we should as well open up the idea that we could allow people to lateral to the Vincennes Police Department as well. The merit board, I've spoke to them at length about it. I put a proposal together, and Mr. Rolligan's had an opportunity to take a look at that as well. Currently, you know, we've been able to maintain our staff of 37 for about 3 years, which is great. We haven't been able to do that for a long time. But now I do have information. I've got 2 officers that are going to be leaving in July. One of those officers is returning to his hometown of Terre Haute. Another is going to take employment in the private sector at Duke Energy. And so I'm going to have 2 officers. Neither officer has over, actually one's about 3 years, one of them not 2 years. So those officers are early in their training. We've spent a lot of money and done a lot of training with those officers, and we're going to have to replace them. So what I would propose to you is the idea that we offer a hiring process whereby officers who have already been through the police academy, who have 2 years of experience with the department, could be offered the opportunity to apply to our department and receive some incentives from the city to, again, move from wherever they're at. If it's a better fit for them in Vincennes, we may be able to have somebody come on who's already been trained, already had the academy, and it will be a lot easier for us to get them up to speed. Likely, I would say within 6 months, put them through a accelerated field training program to learn the procedures for the Vincennes Police Department, and then get them out on the road. The merit rules basically would be amended by the Merit Commission, and they are willing to do that. What the incentive part is and what the city would offer, whereas now a rookie officer that's hired in 2015 would make a salary of $37,709. We would offer them the opportunity to start at first class patrolman pay, which is where they would be at after those 2 years, and that's $39,165. So for them, what that does is that officer who's already had that experience where they've been through the academy and been through their probationary periods at another department, it's hard for them to turn around and go back and take a pay cut and start for 2 years and lose all their vacation, lose their pay that it took to get up to that first class position. So you offer them that pay from the beginning. There's about $1,456 is the split there. So you figure over 2 years, it's about a $3,000 incentive for them to come over to start rather than starting as a new applicant. The other incentive would be the idea that based on their years of experience, if they had 2 to 5 years of experience, their vacation time, we would offer them that 1 week during that probationary year, just like they would have as a first class patrolman. So that gives them an extra 4 days where they would only normally have 3 days. They would get the full 7 that first year. And again, if they had 5 or more years of experience, they would go ahead and bump up to the 2 weeks that they get if they were a normal employee that had stretched that time out. Some of the other issues, again, once they were through their field training program and out on the road on their own and released from the training, if it was available to them and they were considered first class patrolmen, be possibility that they could be issued a take home car like some of the officers are, and as well the other existing benefits that everyone has, including health insurance, longevity, deferred comp, uniform allowance, holiday pay, and the other pays that, again, it takes about a year or so to get up to where you're receiving all of your pro pays and all of the things, 2 years on some of them. So that's basically what we're looking at. Again, the benefit that the city and the police department receives is the ability to have an academy trained veteran officer with at least 2 years of experience from the first day of employment. After a shortened field training program, the officer is able to be a full service officer out on the street. So, you know, essentially it's a win-win for both the city police department and for the citizens, because they're up to speed a lot quicker and out on the road and doing the work that they need to do on their own. It doesn't really require any additional funds to any line item for us to do this. Whenever we budget for the set amount. We're budget right now for at 37 officers split into the different ranks and the first class patrolman. So it wouldn't be any additional cost to the city to do that. It's just allowing them to have some of those benefits a little quicker. And it taking into consideration their experience. Just by the ordinance, kind of the reason I'm up, kind of trying to explain a few things. Obviously, the salaries of the members of the police department is at the discretion of the council. So those things like being able to pay them that first class pay, that's something that's in your court. So we wanted to make sure to talk with you and to get your permission and your opinion on it. The Merit Commission, I know that they have been on board with it, and they do have the sole power and authority to appoint or remove anybody from the police department. And so they are going to work to change their rules, basically their ordinances, to state that, you know, they would accept applications for lateral transfer. But because I need your permission, I guess I would say, or a commitment from you that you would be willing to allow us to give those officers that would lateral those incentives from the time that they start. You might have any questions about that.
Chief, how long do you think it would take to implement the policies and procedures so we'd be able to...
They're done, and they've been done for quite some time. I actually, again, I kind of started back in January, but there's been a lot of issues between now and then that have came up either with the council or and we talked about hiring freezes and different things. And honestly, and that was one of the things I mentioned early, we've been setting pretty good where we've been full staffed for over 3 years, and it's been great. But you always know there's the time there. We also have an officer that's in the drop program for retirement. He'll be leaving in March of 2017, so not this coming year, but the next. And we know that date, and that's a little easier to plan. But when you have somebody who either resigns or for whatever reason they leave, it's a little quicker in your face. So wanted to get things moving.
And I know this is something that we've all discussed, for the past 3 years, is how we're going to fix some of these issues that would have our officers that leave earlier. Now, obviously, that doesn't solve every problem.
Right.
But, people do respond to incentives, and this seems like a pretty good way to attack that and go about that. So I do appreciate the work that you've put into this.
Chief, how much does it cost for the first 2 years of training? Get round figure, if you can.
I don't want to quote a number because I would be guessing. I will tell you that it's if you consider the idea that there has been years where there's been four and five officer turnovers, and you figure every officer that comes along, you're buying several thousand dollars worth of equipment. You're having an officer that is assigned to another officer to make sure that they're trained properly. Everything from that to whenever you talk about the police academy, the expense of getting them back and forth in the police academy, and if there's any overtime for training. And so, it's very expensive to get an officer up to where they need to be and where they can safely do their job.
Okay.
There's nothing in this process that would short-circuit any of the background checks and that sort of thing.
No.
That a normal applicant goes through. I just wouldn't want to pick up a problem officer from another department.
Sure, and that's what I would say. I didn't go into exactly that, but it is, and it will be in the merit guidelines. They're required to do the same things that another person that has never been an officer does, to apply background check, polygraph. The age requirement is a little different on a lateral. If a person is already in the PERF system, they can actually be over 35 years old and still lateral. Whereas if you are not in the Indiana PERF system, you cannot. So that the age requirement changes a little bit. But they do have to go through all those steps, including an additional step, which is they're going to be required to go before a board that is selected by the Merit Commission, which would include myself, the chief, a detective, two rated officers, and two patrol officers. In essence, a police panel where we can ask them some police specific questions to see how we believe that they are reacting to those questions.
Sounds like a reasonable plan to me.
Good idea.
All right.
Well, Mr. President, as a fiscal officer, one thing that the chief will also gain on is, usually when you have someone leave, you don't have someone standing in line to take that position, so you're going to net the time that the vacancy is there in that position. You're going to be saving that money too, which could help you on your advancement of the new people.
Okay. Good idea. All right, thank you.
Okay, moving on. Ordinance 23-2015, additional appropriation ordinance. Edit fund for $33,027.19.
I move we have a first reading of ordinance 23-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 23-2015.
Ordinance 23-2015, additional appropriation ordinance, 1 and 2, total $33,027.19.
Discussion.
What is this for, Mayor?
This is our last 6 months' payment to KCDC.
Okay.
And then the other one is the second Niblack project. And you should have in your packets.
It's in there, the Lock Mueller.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the details. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all detailed there.
Yeah. Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 23-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is Matt Sword, Development Specialist with Southern Indiana Development Commission Downtown Planning Grant.
Good evening. Matt Sword, Southern Indiana Development Commission. I've got two resolutions. I believe these are in your packets. One resolution is a blight area declaratory resolution. This is for the area of Main Street from 1st Street to 11th Street, which is the project area. So that, I guess that would be the first resolution. Do I need to read it or?
We can have a number for.
Well, isn't it resolution 14-2015 or no. You're talking
no, about? That's the second resolution that I have.
We don't have a resolution.
It's, but it didn't have a number.
I saw that, but I thought that must be just an example because it has so many blanks.
Okay, what that was, there was information we were looking for, and we've got that. So the blanks you had, basically the cessation of private investment since 2004. I think we had that as a blank. And then the other one was the vacancy rates. So 19% of the first floor commercial space in that area is vacant, 39% of the second floor commercial space is vacant, and then 25% of the total commercial space in that area is vacant.
I only have two blanks on that paragraph, so where does... What's the 25%? Is that...
Downtown commercial property. There.
Is that what you're identifying as deteriorated?
Yeah, 25% is the total commercial space. So 19% was the first floor commercial space, 39% was the second floor commercial space, and then 25% is the total. They make us break it down by first and second floor. Basically, this is a resolution that we have to use from OCRA, so it's not anything that we've created. We're just filling in the blanks.
So what's that next blank down below that?
Okay, what we've got, I think what you're talking about there is we just have, whereas widespread deterioration of downtown commercial buildings are deteriorated as evidenced by crumbling facade and bricks, poor signage, and age of the buildings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, well, is everybody writing these in? We're going to have to make an amendment to get if this.
Right. Instead of putting a percentage to it, I went back and I looked at the other resolutions that for these types of projects, and that's the language that we use.
25% is the compilation. 19 for first floor, 39 for second floor, and then 25 for the open.
It's, the reason
can
is
you
there's
have
not
those filled in on a resolution.
I've got them right here.
Can we just get copies?
Yeah, because this is getting. Do we have a resolution number that we can, or are we going to have to add that?
Does this have to be passed tonight?
If you're not comfortable, I mean, when do you meet again? July? I mean, that's the city's decision. I mean, if it's. I know you want to be comfortable with anything that you do. I mean, we've got
to
have it passed to put the application. It has to go into the
14.
Application, yes. Right. But.
Well, I mean, assuming we get the copies made, I think it's not that long of a resolution. Checks.
We got a number?
Can we use.
15.
The Resolution 15. Well, I guess we don't need to write on this. We're going to get it here. So anyway, well,
I mean, while we're waiting, I can move on to the next one because you've got a number on it and it's a little more clear-cut.
All right. Come back.
Okay. And what was, I don't have the paper in front of me. What's the resolution number?
Resolution 14-2015, authorizing application submission and local match commitment.
Okay, and so what this one's doing is it's authorizing City Council President to prepare and submit an application for grant funding through OCRA, Office of Community and Rural Affairs, for the downtown planning grant. And then it's also committing the local funds, which is $4,445. And this is coming from Board of Works Capital Outlays funds as matching grant funds.
Make a motion to read Resolution 14-2015.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Sebring, second by President Chapman, to read and pass Resolution 14-2015.
Resolution number 14-2015, resolution authorizing application submission of local match commitment.
This should be an ordinance. It should be an ordinance.
Discussion.
Well, I mean, the question I just posed to Shirley, and I just want to say out loud, is why do we have ordinances and resolutions? I mean, I don't care. I just, because like a resolution gets one night's of votes, and you know what I mean? I don't have any desire to be difficult, but
this is just typically resolutions were done for this grant process.
Right. I mean, I guess that'd be a legal question, the difference between a resolution and an ordinance. And in the case here, resolution, that's just what's required for the grant. So, I mean, that's kind of the direction that we go with the OCRA grants.
Well, I don't want to be the stick in the mud. I guess need an educator.
And I think your ordinance is typically dealing with spending dollars, and we have to have
yes.
a public hearing because it's...
Gotcha.
I think the other thing he says, we're asking another entity to give money, so following the federal order. Okay. They prefer to see it as a resolution for whatever reason.
I'm fine with it. Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris? Ms. Rose? Ms. Moore? Ms. Morris.
Yes. Yeah. I want to get.
Ms. Rose.
Go ahead, Ned.
Yes, but I'd like to have Ellen to come back up so that her statement gets in our minutes. What she told us about him being.
Do you want to vote yes or no?
I'm going to vote yes.
Okay. We're voting right now, but you just hold on.
Okay.
Ms. Rose and Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay. This is federal dollars through HUD. It's through the CDBG program, which is the Community Development Block Grant dollars. And this is just a standard form that we have to do. Sorry about that. I'm no longer at the state. Sorry. SIDC has to do anytime they're working on these types of projects in particular. So there has to be a resolution passed. For a downtown plan or for historic preservation, it has to be a slum and blight resolution. For infrastructure such as the levee or wastewater or whatever, it's a low to moderate. It shows the low to moderate income levels. So it's just a standard form that's done for all the grants because it's a federal requirement.
Now we talk about NVIN.
NVIN, okay. And then is it's a Business and Arts Innovation Initiative, and we are working very closely with the city and with the Central Business District to basically bring economic development to the downtown. InVen owns the New Moon and owns the Pantheon. We will be working on fundraising to get those buildings stabilized and get those on the market and get people in there, whether it's businesses or whatever the case may be. So we're working on things such as that, and we'll be working very closely with this. And like I said earlier, with this grant, we'll be looking at every piece of makeup, whether that goes from traffic patterns to bike lanes to whatever the case may be, that's going to be part of this grant, and this is just standard. Anything else? Anything else I missed?
Okay. Got it in the minutes now.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Resolution 14-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to add to the agenda Resolution 15-2015, Blight Area Declaratory Resolution.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to add Resolution 15-2015.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, Resolution 15-2015 has been added to the agenda.
Now I would like to have Resolution 15-2015 read and approved.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring, to read and approve Resolution 15-2015.
City of Vincennes, Indiana, Resolution 15-2015, Blight Area Declaratory Resolution. Whereas the City of Vincennes, Indiana, desires to eliminate blighted areas within the corporate limits of Vincennes, Indiana, specifically downtown Vincennes. Whereas identifying such areas is necessary for effective action to eliminate lighting conditions, and whereas public improvements, facades, lighting, sidewalks, street curbs have severely deteriorated, contributing to lighting conditions, whereas the downtown area has experienced a succession of private investments since 2004, and whereas 19% of first floor commercial space, 39% of second floor commercial space, 25% of total commercial space in downtown Vincennes currently vacant, and whereas widespread deterioration of downtown commercial buildings are deteriorated, evidenced by crumbling facades and bricks, poor signage, buildings, whereas project activities are designed to address slums or blight on an area basis defined by 24 CFR 570.483, and be it resolved by the City of Vincennes, Indiana, that the following areas downtown Vincennes hereby be designated as an area in need of redevelopment as defined by Indiana Code 14 Main Street, 1st Street, 11th Street.
That is for the, that will be part of the application.
I didn't get all that.
Could you take a breath too?
I have it in writing.
I'm glad you're here. Yeah.
Any discussion?
I'm sorry, you have something going on? No, I was just going to say, in a nutshell, this is just to make us qualified to.
Right, you're meeting the national objective for this grant.
Meeting the federal standards. Okay.
Now. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And Resolution 15-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Moving on to claims.
Mr. President, before we do that, in all due respect to the counselor sitting here, as far as our office is concerned, Matt, in the future, if you have any ordinances or resolutions, we would appreciate it if you run it through the attorney's office first.
Okay.
Then he could get the proper form and all that, and may speed up what we slowed down here this evening for you.
All right. We can do that. And I do need signatures so I can get those after. I'll need the mayor and Mr. Culp after the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Claims.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve claims totaling $609,531.26.
Second.
Motion by President Chat and second by Councilman Sebring to pay the claims in the amount of $609,531.26.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Ms. Morse?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And claims are paid by a vote of 7-0. You have nothing under miscellaneous. Just need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
So,